Second Chronicles chapter 15. Second Chronicles chapter 15. Pray for his dad also. He's over in the Cedarhurst where daddy was for a little while. He's in the memory center there, and he fell the other day. He was showing somebody about how somebody fell out of the wheelchair, and he fell out and broke his collarbone. So pray for him and pray for Justin now. 2 Corinthians chapter 15. Read a couple of verses to get started. 2 Corinthians chapter 15. Chronicles. Did I say Corinthians? 2 Chronicles. I'm sorry. Second Chronicles chapter 15. I tell you what, we'll read 7 verses. The Bible says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be revealed." Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for another opportunity we have bound in your presence, for the opportunity we've had to be here this morning. Thank you for the good Sunday school lesson, the good singing. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now for just a little bit as we look at this passage of Scripture. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. Lord, and I pray that you just ever help each and every one of us, Lord, just to draw closer to you by being here this morning. Be with those that may be watching by the way of the webcast. I pray that you'll speak to hearts. Lord, help me for just a little bit. Lord, this is one place. Lord, we've said many times, we don't and cannot stand alone. We need your touch. We need your help, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, that we'd leave here with a greater burden, Lord, to reach the lost in this day and hour that we're living in. Father, have your way, and we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. I want to preach just a little bit, the Lord being my helper this morning, on the satisfaction in seeking the Lord. The satisfaction in seeking the Lord. There he said again in verse 2, said, "And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you, but if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." Verses 12 to 13, the Bible says, "And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman." Seeking God is a spiritual thing this morning. It comes about when we choose to do so. It doesn't just happen in our lives. Many Christians today can't conceive of the idea of being truly close to God because the devil has convinced them that it's impossible to be close to God in this environment that we live in today. They believe the devil's lie that they're too bad or unworthy to be really close to God. Asa became king over Judah at a time when God's people were extremely estranged from God. They were involved in idol worship and all the wickedness that went along with that kind of worship. Yet Asa had a heart for God, and he used his influence as king to turn Judah around spiritually. Asa's choice to choose to seek the Lord brought some satisfying results in his life. Notice how the Lord used King Asa and helped him realize the satisfaction of seeking God. And if we would get to that point and place this morning, I believe in our own lives, that we could realize that there is a satisfaction that can't otherwise be filled than by this matter of seeking God. This is a spiritual matter. And if there's ever been a time that you and I need to draw close to God, that we need to seek God, I believe it's the day in which we live in. And if we had a president that would lead our country and would stand up for what's right, no doubt there would be people that could see that the need in our land to seek the Lord once again. I believe with all my heart this country and this nation was founded upon the principles of God. I believe that there was people came over on the Mayflower and landed up there around Plymouth Rock. Hey, that would come here seeking the freedom of worship, that they could seek God through the dictates of their heart and that the way that God wanted them to. And we find here in as history is telling us here what took place during the times of Israel. We can look at Israel, I believe, and we can see our nation itself, I believe, in the way that the Israel dealt with God and how they turned away from God at times, and they got away from God. And I believe that we're the furthest today as a nation that we've ever been away from God. Our leaders are anti-God, anti-church. They're anti-anything that has to do right, it seems like. But they're promoting things that are wicked, that are evil. And if there's ever been a time that you and I as believers need to seek the Lord and to try to find that satisfaction that only can come through seeking God, I believe it's the day that we're living in. And we see here as we look at this passage of Scripture, number one, hey, we see the challenge here to seek the Lord there in verses 1 and 2 and verse 7. The Bible said again, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed." Hey, what a blessing to have a prophet or a preacher, hey, that the Spirit of God is upon, that'll stand up and speak forth the Word of God. And we see from time to time that Israel would have a teaching prophet that would come and would try to bring the children of Israel back to God. And it was always when the Spirit of God, without the Spirit, hey, we can do nothing. I mean, today, this day and hour that we're living in, if there's ever been a time that we need the power of the Holy Ghost on our lives, that we need that anointing that can come only from God as we try to seek Him, as we try to walk in the right ways, I believe it's the day that we're living in. We need the Holy Ghost in our services. We need the Holy Ghost in our lives. Hey, we need to be filled with the Spirit and walk with the Lord and be able to hear His voice in this time that we're living in. And it went on and he said, "And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with Him. And if you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you." I believe here that Azariah was the kind of a preacher that God wanted and needed during this time. He was a preacher that would talk to them straight and tell them what they needed. He'd tell them what God would do for them and what God would do to them if they didn't heed and they didn't listen to Him. Verse 7 of that same chapter said, "Be ye strong therefore and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." If there's ever been a time it's going to take strong hands to seek God, I believe it's in this day that we're living in. As we look around and we see the wickedness and the immorality, we see the idol worship that's really going on today, it's going to take some people that are strong, that's filled with the Spirit. It's going to take some men of God that'll mount the pulpits filled with the Holy Ghost and speak forth the truth of the Word of God. And what a blessed opportunity that we have today to stand up and to be counted for God and to get to this point and place in our lives where we would seek the Lord. It's a challenge today to seek God. when everything's anti-God, anti-church, what's right in this world that we're living in. We find here that Asa and Judah had just come back from the battle with the Ethiopians, and because Asa had already begun to seek the Lord and make reforms in Judah, God gave them a great victory in their the battle. It's after this great victory that Azariah comes out to meet the king and to challenge him and the people to keep seeking the Lord. We need to accept that challenge. I believe today, in spite of what's going on in our land today, and Azariah was not only challenging Asa and the people of Judah to continue seeking the Lord, but also assuring them that God would be found of them if they would seek the Lord. There in verse 2, he said that if you would seek the Lord, that He would be found of them. And so we see here, though, we find in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 to 14. The Bible said, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." So we see that God has sent them prophets time and time again. We find here Jeremiah prophesying, and he's telling them that if they'll call upon the Lord and they'll pray unto Him, he said He will hearken unto them. And I believe that the same God that Jeremiah was prophesying for, the same God that Azariah was prophesying for, that same God is well and alive today, and I believe He's still the same God. The Bible tells us that He said, "I am the Lord God, and I change not." Hey, Hebrews tells us Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't believe He'll do for one nation, for one individual, what He won't do for another if we seek the Lord with all our heart. Hey, but we find out what the problem was. Rebellion had brought punishment to the children of Israel here. Verses 3 to 5, the Bible said again, "Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found of them." Hey, I'm glad that if we read the Bible, we look at the history of Israel, we find as they turned away, they went toward idol worship, and then we find that every once in a while that God would give them a good king, and they would bring them back. They'd bring back the law of God, and we'd find that they would have a revival. I believe if today, if we as God's people, even though we're a handful of people, if we get back to the reality of the Word of God and preach the Word of God and stand for what's right and seek God with all of our heart, hey, I believe that God would minister to our needs in this wicked land that we're living in. But we see that rebellion had brought punishment, and I believe today as we look around, hey, we see the rebellion in this land. We see the chastisement that's upon us as God's people in our churches. We see our churches are full of rebellion. People want a smorgasbord religion. Hey, they want to take a little of this and they want to take a little of that. Hey, they don't want to take the full counsel of God in their lives, apply the Word of God to their lives, to their churches. And I believe that's why we're seeing a void of a spiritual movement in our land today, is because of the rebellion that's filled the hearts of individuals. Hey, most people want to be left alone. They don't want you to be bothering them. Hey, they don't want you to preach the truth to them. Hey, they don't think it's none of your business today. In this day and hour that we're living in, this freedom-seeking world that we're living in, hey, we find a lot of rebellion. I've seen rebellion in this church. Reason these pews are not full this morning and some people are out is because of rebellion in their hearts. So what is rebellion? Someone's defined rebellion this way: reserving for myself the right to make the final decision. Hey, that's our problem. We don't want to be told what to do. Hey, we want to make the final decision. We don't want nobody, not even God, telling us what to do. Reserving for myself the right to make the final decision. Do you ever find yourself in that kind of condition, wanting to make the final decision? Instead of doing what God wants you to do. Obeying God only when it's agreeable to one's own way of thinking isn't really obedience at all, it's rebellion. Notice Isaiah chapter 65 verse 2. He said, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. Looking here at Israel's past rebellion against God, Azariah indicated here that one of the chief results of that rebellion was a lack of peace in their nation. The only way to have real peace is to live in submission to God. You know why so many people in homes are in turmoil today? Because they're not, don't have no peace. Because they're in rebellion against God and the things of God and the Word of God. The Bible says, man knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, we preach that all the time, not forsaking assembling themselves together as manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We know that it's right to come to the house of God. Hey, we know that it's right to listen to the preaching. Hey, we know that it's right to live according to the Word of God. Hey, we could head off a lot of problems and situations in our life if we wasn't filled with rebellion. We've got too smart. We think we know it all, and God don't know nothing anymore. So we see rebellion had brought chastening or judgment. Number two, repentance had brought God's presence, though. We find that repentance had brought God's presence. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 4, he said, but when they, in their trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found of them. You know, repentance is a neglected doctrine today in our land, in our churches. Repentance is not just when a person, individual gets saved. Hey, but repentance is a lifelong doctrine that should be real in our lives. I don't believe you can get saved without repentance. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. It leads to a change of mind about your sin and what you are. It's a change of mind about yourself and what you deserve. But even after we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior, hey, repentance still should be a reality in our lives. I'm inclined to believe that churches are in the shape they're in because there's a lack of repentance across our land, a preaching of repentance. Repentance had brought God's presence. When they were in their trouble, the Bible said they did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, and He was found of them. You know, a person, I don't care if a person is truly saved by the grace of God, I don't care how bad they've got in sin, if they will be honest with God, if they'll repent of their sin, if they've not went too far, God will forgive them. And there'll be some peace comes in that life. When you really, truly repent, I'm glad that peace will flood your soul. Azariah here, he reiterates the thoughts found in verse 2 that God would not turn a deaf ear to the nation's cries of repentance. God had not done so in the past and He wouldn't do so now. However, repentance involves a change of attitude as well as a change of actions. And we live to see during the Trump administration, I believe God gave us a space of grace to repent. I believe God gave us a short time that I believe if America had turned back to God, I believe if we'd have stood up for what's right, hey, I don't believe that God would have cut that time short. And I'm not saying that Trump was a Sunday school teacher, but you look at some of these kings, they weren't what they ought to be either, but God blessed their nation because they brought back the right things, because they stood for the right things, and it brought about an attitude of repentance in people's lives. They turned back to God. They brought back the law of God. I'm going to tell you, if you repent, you're going to have to bring... Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If a person really loves God, hey, they want to do right. They won't get offended every time you preach about something that they're doing, the way that they're living, the way that they're acting, the way that they're dressing, the way that they're conducting themselves. Repentance has brought back God's presence. I believe that we lost God's presence in our churches across this land today because people are unwilling to repent. They don't see nothing wrong with anything anymore, Brother Chris. I mean, everything's okay. If it feels good, do it. The Bible said in the last book and part of Judges, said, and every man did that which was right in their own eyes. And that's where we're at today. People say, well, I'm saved and that's all that matters. That ain't all that matters. You're an ambassador for Christ and you're a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to be a light and we're to be salt in this world. Hey, we're to stand up for what's right and for what God, the way that God wants us to live. Number two, we see the courage to seek the Lord. We see the courage to seek the Lord there in verse 8. The Bible said, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Asa crushed... Number one, Asa crushed the idolatrous worship there in verse 8. When a person truly seeks God, hey, they must take steps to break ties with every sinful allegiance in their lives. It takes courage to seek God today. I promise you, it's not popular to stand for what's right. Look at the abortionists. I mean, they're mad. They're mad. Look at this transgender agenda that's going on. Why, when I was a boy and I was a teenager, we wouldn't have heard of that. Our nation would have stood against it. Our presidents would have stood against it. Our congressmen, our senators. They would have stood against it. Hey, they're under pressure today. They're under pressure or they'll lose their jobs. It takes courage. It takes courage to seek the Lord. So it takes, when a person truly seeks the Lord, they must take steps to break ties with every sinful allegiance in their life. That's because who or what one worships shapes your life. What's your God? What do you put before God? What do we put before God? Let me include myself. What are we putting before God? Anything that we put before God becomes an idol in our lives. I believe, I read this one time, it said America's two gods today was sports and education. Sports and education. Look at the big coliseums and that we have, the sports arenas, the football stadiums, the domes, and all the money that we spend to have a place of sports. Look at the sports that takes precedence over church. The Super Bowl is coming up on Sunday, and there's going to be a lot of churches that will be missing people in action. Or there'll be some churches that'll bring the big screen in and to appease their people and have the game instead of preaching. You think that's not an idol? We'd rather our children to grow up being athletes than to be Christians. We neglect the house of God so they can practice ball. It used to didn't be that way. When I was a boy and they was playing ball, Brother Chris, they didn't have practice or games on Wednesday. It's a known fact that, you know, that was church night. And then it started changing. Then it started changing and we've been on a downward spiral ever since. Look at the colleges, the campuses, the beautiful campuses that we have. The pushing of education. If you don't have an education anymore, you're nothing. What if everybody was educated? We wouldn't have no bricklayers, we wouldn't have no carpenters, we wouldn't have no mechanics, we wouldn't have no detail people, we wouldn't have nobody that would work. Everybody wants a big check, but they don't want to work. They want a cushy job. Hey, Chris, I'd rather crawl up under houses and put AC in than to be out of my realm of what I should be. Everybody can't be educated. But I'm going to tell you, we put so much stock in educating our children, we neglect God. We send them off to these God-denying colleges and they take away their faith. All this stuff that they're teaching today destroys a lot of kids' faith. Asa crushed the idolatrous worship. Number two, Asa constructed the Lord's altar. There in verse 8 and 11. He said, when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Verse 11 said, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And that was just a drop in the bucket of what Solomon offered on that day when they offered all those animals when they on the altar of God. The altar of God had to be repaired. You look, we find out Israel's sin and rebellion had left the altar of worship deserted and desolate. Hey, their relationship with God had been severed. I believe a common piece of furniture is missing in most churches today. It used to be called the mourner's bench. It was a place that sinners could bow and repent and get saved, or Christians could get right with God. The sad truth of today is the altar in our churches are deserted. We've outgrown the need of an altar and have grown too proud to bow before God. It used to be, I remember going to church and services, get the preacher preach and give the altar call and the altars would fill up. I've been to church services when I was a boy, back yonder, and people would come out of the woodwork, sinners would come down and they'd bow on an altar, they would be weeping and they would get born again. We're not seeing it much anymore because we've, as God's people, we've got too proud to bow before God. We're afraid of what somebody will think. Then we see number three, Asa committed he and his people to seek the Lord. There in verses 12 to 14. It said, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Hey, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. Asa committed himself and the people to seek the Lord. If there's ever been a time the cry needs to go out across our land, hey, to seek God once again, I believe it's the day and hour that we're living in. I believe the greatest challenge that we can give from our pulpits today is for us to get back to that place of seeking God in our lives. Seeking God's presence, seeking God's power, just that we might see people saved and born again. Number three, and lastly this morning, we see the consequences of seeking the Lord. There in verses 15 to 19, we find out, number one, there was rejoicing. Verse 15 said, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought Him with their whole desire, and He was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. So we find out here in verse 15 that all Judah rejoiced at the oath. If there's ever been a time that we need to seek the Lord and experience that rejoicing in our churches, it used to be, hey, you could go into the house of God and there was rejoicing there. And today we go into the house of God a lot of times and we can't wait to get out, to get home, to back to the television or to somewhere to eat. Hey, when we ought to be seeking God and rejoicing in His presence, of having Him in our lives and His presence real in our midst once again. I remember used to just about go into any church and you could sense the presence of God. Hey, you could sense rejoicing in the hearts of people that were saved by the grace of God, that knew their sins were forgiven and that they were going to heaven. The consequences of seeking the Lord. I'm glad there's some good consequences. And there were some consequences here when Israel began to seek the Lord. Hey, there was rejoicing. And then number two, there was a response there in verse 15. It said, "And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about." So we see the response as they sought God, that he was found of them. I'm glad this evening if we'll respond in this matter of seeking God. I believe this Bible is true and I believe that we can find the Lord's presence. We can find the Lord's power. Hey, we can see God work again and once again in our land, in our churches, in our homes. If there's ever been a time, hey, that we need to rise up and seek God, it's the day and hour that we're living in. Hey, we need a place where these little kids can grow up and come under the Holy Ghost conviction and trust Christ as their Savior. Hey, you can't find God with a search warrant in most places today across this land. Hey, they've watered this thing down till people wouldn't know God if He showed up in person. Notice Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. The Bible said, "I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me." If there's ever been a time that we need to love God and love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, hey, I believe it's in this God-denying world that we're living in today. We need to be stand up and be counted for Jesus. Not only was there rejoicing, there was response, but then there was rest. Verse 15. Again, there he said, "And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about." You find out that Israel there in verse 19 tells us, said, "And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa." I mean, God gave them rest from their enemies. I mean, when we do right, no telling what, if our nation as a whole today, if we had some leaders that would stand up and proclaim an oath that we're going to seek the God of this Bible today, I believe with all of my heart that God would once again turn and bless the United States. We spent 200 and something years in this land and seeing the hand of God. You can see Him in the wars. You can see Him in every situation through this land and His blessings upon. Hey, while there was a minority, no doubt, a lot of times seeking God, but yet God honored those people, those leaders that would honor God in our country. We've had His blessings. It wouldn't surprise me any day to hear of a bomb falling on one of our major cities. God has protected us from that, I believe. I believe He's protected the United States because of a people that was seeking God down through the times. You look at the revivals that we've heard about and been involved in times past. And we can see the hand of God in the lives. And there was no more war. Boy, it's going to be a blessing one of these days when Jesus comes back. He's going to get us out of this mess and we won't have to experience none of this stuff anymore. But until He does, we've got a responsibility. I believe in 2023, if there's ever been a time that we need to seek God and the satisfaction of seeking the Lord with all of our heart, I believe it's the day and hour that we're living in. Sin in the life of a Christian robs them of their peace. The best part of seeking God is that repentance restores rest or peace in an individual's life. Remember this, seeking the Lord involves a choice. It's your choice this morning. It's your choice if you're going to seek God in your life and in your family. It's going to be your choice if you're going to serve God in this day and hour that we're living in. If you're going to stand up for what's right, it's your choice. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, Joshua said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua made a choice. He said, "I'm going to serve God. My wife's going to serve God. My teenage son's going to serve God. My teenage daughter's going to serve God." He said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve God." It's your choice this morning. You know, we're free moral agents. God lets you have what you want. He'll let you go your own way. I don't know how far, but He'll let you go. If you're really saved and you belong to Him, it's just like the children of Israel read of the judgment of God and how God brought them back. He used the prophets of God to preach them a message of repentance and turning back to God. Number two, rebellion brings punishment. If you rebel long enough, and if you're saved, you're gonna get chastised. It'll bring punishment. You can't just keep rebelling and rebelling against God and get away with it. That old saying, the wheels of God grind slow, but they grind sure. Not only rebellion brings punishment, but repentance brings God's presence in your life. If you've got known sin in your life, I'm glad we've got, if you're saved, we've got 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's none of us arrived. We've all got sin in our lives. We all fall way short of the glory of God. And those sins of commission are just as bad as those sins of omission. I wonder how many people we should have already witnessed to in our lifetime. Those opportunities that God placed before us, and we wasn't close enough to see that that was an opportunity to witness to someone. We need to get beyond worrying about what people think about us, where they're going to laugh at us, where they're going to make fun, and we need to do the will of God. The Bible says that God's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. And then we see number four. Remember this. The results of seeking the Lord is rejoicing, response, and rest in your life. If there's ever been a time, I believe that you and I, as God's people, need to seek the Lord, it's today. As we look around and we see the world has gone crazy. Some things that we're seeing, I never would have thought. As that old saying, I never would have thunk it. I'm telling you, it's crazy. But the satisfaction in seeking the Lord in our life. I'm glad there is a satisfaction, young people. Most important thing is your relationship with God. Your relationship with God is going to determine how your life ends up. The will of God is the most important thing. And the will of God is for you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father this morning. Hey, it's time to seek the Lord in our lives.